Greetings to you, friends, all over America. This is Brother Powers. I'm doing a personal intro to this CD, reason being that I went to the pulpit on a Sunday morning here at Landmark and began to preach out of chapter 4, 1 Samuel, where the children of Israel played foolish and lost the Ark of the Covenant. Then, as you study on and you need to get your Bible and read it, you'll find out why they lost the Ark. The spirit they bore, the misplaced affections that they had, and brought them to a disgraceful, horrible defeat, which is where I think we are today in the church world. Well, I only got started on that Sunday morning, barely got started. And the Spirit of God began to move, and so I had to stop. And several weeks later, I came back to the pulpit on a Wednesday night and felt led to come back to that text. And the sermon that you're going to hear is the preaching that I did here at Landmark on that Wednesday night. And I would appreciate it if you'd listen to every word all the way to the end and hear what I think God had to say to this church and to you. And perhaps it would stir you to understand that God will not cover us if we disgrace his name, walk into unbelief and sin willfully, and lose our respect for him. God knows the Pentecostal people, the holiness people, have become as ceremonial and religious as the denominational churches. But maybe this will stir us up to understand that it's time that the priest took the responsibility for the safety and well-being of God's people and the progression of their spiritual welfare. Listen closely, and may God bless you. Pass the CD on to somebody else, and we will be praying for you if you will pray for us. Who shall deliver us? Aren't you tired of losing? Go ahead and switch it around. Aren't you tired of losing? And who is it that is able to deliver us? We just talk to each other. Where are we at? What is it connected to? This nation is in the biggest mess that your mind could ever comprehend. Now, we want to blame it on Obama. We want to blame it on Hillary Clinton, all them. But I'm going to end up blaming it on somebody else. Now, they're a product of it, but that is not why nations get in trouble. There's a direct connection to the problems of a nation, to the spiritual leadership of a nation. Nobody can overthrow an Israel whose priesthood and leadership is following God. There would have been no way for the rat to get in had the priesthoods of America kept all of the holes blocked up. We had it going. Out of America was born the Assemblies of God, Church of God, the greatest strongholds of Pentecost and revival the world has ever known. In Azusa Street, Kansas, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in America. The promise of Joel was fully fulfilled right here in America, where we were established on the Holy Bible, God's providential happening. I'm going to maybe make notes as I go. I read a book that my wife brought to me about George Washington conquering the British army, and the night that they floated across the Delaware in boats. They had horses in them boats. There were chunks of ice knocking hunks of wood out of those boats. Men had rags tied on their feet. The trails that they marched were marked by blood because some of them were barefooted in the snow. The British leader said, We're safe because there's nobody on earth that can cross that river and get to us. When it was settled, a wounded, dying British commander held up by his own two men surrendered his sword to George Washington. They had killed 170 some British, took 860 prisoners, and the United States Army led by George Washington only had 4 wounded people, because God waited for a nation to rise up that would honor this book. And when this nation came across that Atlantic Ocean for the liberty to worship the Almighty God, and the preachers and the people that led America into a conscious, purposeful, directed worship of Jesus Christ. And the men that established our Constitution and the documents that put this nation in place were men that would stop and go pray for 4 or 5 hours on their knees, and come back and pick up their pens and write again. And if they got stalled, they would do it again and pray and seek God. The deeds and titles to America were written. And I don't know about now, but when I was a young adult, the dates on the title deeds of America read in the year of our Lord and Savior. You didn't even hear me. The title deeds to a piece of land, every one of them read in the year of our Lord and Savior. Our money says in God we trust. Our congresses, both houses, opened with devotion and prayer and ended in Jesus' name. And as late as Harry Truman, the presidents honored Christ. Because Harry Truman said the greatest advantage of being an American is access to the blood of Jesus Christ. God honored America, and the prophecy of Joel fully was realized in this nation. And with that outpouring, there was a power and a might among preachers all over America who mostly preached the same doctrine. They preached the same doctrine. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, at 80 years old, apologized, repented, and asked God to forgive him that he could only write for 13 hours a day. And he had to cut back from preaching 3 times a day to 2. They shouted. They filled the churches full of praise and glory. My grandfather received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Sandy Ridge, Virginia, in a Methodist prayer meeting. You ain't looking at a dummy that don't know what he's talking about. I know about this subject, my friend. And the Methodists had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now they're licensing homosexuals and giving them credentials to preach out of a book that denounces that filth to the very letter. I can't get ahead of myself. We're not in the trouble we're in because of our politicians. We're not in the trouble we're in because of the Democratic or the Republican Party. We're not in the trouble we're in because of atheists. We're in the trouble we're in because of the priesthood and the spiritual leaders of this country that for many reasons gave up their convictions and their responsibility to stand for what is right. And they let the truth slip away from us and have turned our churches into nothing but a ceremonial operation and a get-together. And a whole lot of our holiness churches are exactly the same way, the same routine, over and over and over and over. Long gone is that wave of power and might and that wind that comes and interrupts us. And it blows on us till we don't know what's coming from where. And there is a mighty work accomplished in the house of God, because God is in control. And there is that explosion
of power and might. Long ago has that become the norm, and now it is the exception to the rule. And if it happens, we leave and we suck on it for a month about the great service we had. God's not in the business of coming every third Sunday and blessing the church. He's in the business of being the cloud and the presence of might that wants to come and dwell among his people, not every now and then, but every time two or three will gather together in his name, he will come and be in their midst, and he wants that cloud to remain among his people. Dying, slaughtered. I'm going to read here in a minute. 34,000 people died at the hands of the grossest enemies you could ever imagine. You don't even know how much I feel like preaching. How many are being slaughtered today? It may not be rivers of blood that we see, though there are in Syria and Iraq and around the world. There are rivers of blood. There are rivers of blood. Let me tell you, you want me to tell you or dare confess that Allah has more power than the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Do you want me to concede to the demonic spirits of the religions of the world and say that if the church should have been what it was, should have been and would have rose up to be the power that God called and the order that Jesus gave, go into all the world and preach this gospel, tell my story. Tell that I'm the Savior of the world. Tell that I am the one that died on the cross. Go tell them that I'm the Redeemer of mankind. If we would have done our job the way we were supposed to, my friend, it would have driven back the power of the heathen and the ungodly, which it can still today. But we're more interested in becoming a ceremonial, unprovoked. Don't bother me. Don't interrupt my time. I ain't got time to stay at that altar. I ain't got time for 10 nights of revival. I ain't got time for this or that. And we become ceremonial and expecting God to be the same God that he's always been. It just don't work that way. He's either number one or he's gonna leave the scene. Where are my amens? He's gonna walk away and let the slaughter proceed. Samuel was a righteous man. There's so much on my heart. We are going to devour ourselves not knowing what to do, because we as a nation no longer have a direction. All right? This thing called racist, it's gotten so crazy and ridiculous that you can't hardly say white, because if you say white, then they call it white supremacy. If you say black, which that happens to be the color they are, okay? I didn't create them. But because you say the word black doesn't mean you hate them. Doesn't even mean you dislike them. That's just the color they are. But there's something I'd like to ask them. What about the Italians? What about the Greeks? What about the Germans? How come they're not in the arrangement? How come it's only two colors? How come there ain't no other nationalities involved? Oh, but now we got the Mexicans involved in it. Because Mr. Trump dared stand up and tell the truth about an open border where terrorists could come in and destroy America. And we sat around with our arms folded as blind as a bat, letting anything and everything come across. And if you dare mention the word illegal, last time I knew, if you broke the law, you're illegal. But we're so blind and ignorant that we don't want to call it illegal, so we call it undocumented. If they were Russians, they wouldn't call them that. Hello? You ain't with me? I'm telling you, we're in a whirlwind. We're losing it. We don't have any direction. We don't have a rudder in the water. Somebody's got to hear me. We don't have a rudder in the water. We're going around in circles. We're trying to find answers, and we have no way to find an answer, because America wasn't founded on political fairness and rightness. We were founded on that book right there. And until we come back to that book, we as a nation are going to spiral out of control, and the judgment of God is going to wipe us away. And those that we never thought would hold us captive, they are going to hold us captive. We are going to be their prisoners. We've got no backbone. How long have they got to discuss an atomic bomb with Iran? For goodness sakes, we could design and build a jet. It's this simple. Here's the rules. These are America's rules. Come to it or get up and go home. And if you want an A-bomb, we'll give you one. And it won't cost you a penny. It'll be delivered. You've got 48 hours to shut down your atomic mess and allow inspectors in there. But if a politician dares get anywhere near telling it like it is, like Mr. Marco Rubio says, a while back we said, I don't know if you can help me get it in order. You're going to not make any uranium. Then a year later we let him do it. Then no centrifuges, and then 2 years later we let him do it. And then if you make it, you got to ship it out of the country, and 2 years later we let him do it. You know why we're like that? Because we don't have the backbone that God gave this nation. It's not about politics. It's about the constitution of the spirituality of those that are supposed to be leading us, and ungodly men can't lead a nation that is under God. Somebody help me while I preach. Ungodly men, immoral men, homosexual men, they cannot lead a nation whose constitution was written under the fear of an almighty God. They can't lead us. They can't do it. They cannot speak it right. They have no direction in their spirit. How can they guide us? When the priesthood failed, everything failed. You got men. When I was young, there was a man who went to prison because he committed illegal abortions right up here on Old 33, right, Mom? Inside of the old church in that little white house. He was committing abortions and he got arrested and committed suicide. Went in his garage and took a pipe, and put it in his window and killed himself because the priests of America preached that it was murder, and they did it so firmly there was no room for anybody to move. No legislator, no politician, help me, Holy Ghost, dared bring that subject up and give somebody the right to murder an unborn baby. Nobody in America dared, because there was a resonance of spirituality that went through this nation from the pulpit to the pew, from the pew to the community, from the community into the ears of the politicians. And they dared not rise up against the people that had the power of God in their life. Because God gave them strength. God made them to rule. You and I are the rulers of the earth. We're not the ones that ought to be running and being pursued by the enemy. We ought to be the ones driving the powers of hell back. But we're not. We're not. And then it becomes okay to murder millions of babies. Just give me a little time here. I feel like God wanted me to preach. And I feel the Holy Ghost. We've degraded all the way down to where I know of a fact that a lady in a Pentecostal church became expectant. The doctor told her to get an abortion. The pastor said, get an abortion. I don't want a pot-bellied woman on my piano bench. She did it and lost her mind. We heard a lady said here the other night, I hear my baby. My baby is saying, help me, mommy. Help me, mommy. She aborted her baby. And she's here in and out of mental institutions because she murdered her baby. And in New York, a nurse sat in a witness stand. See, I could preach all night tonight in a witness stand and testified that she saw a fetus trying to keep from drowning in a toilet bowl. Because we've now not just talked about abortion, but late stage abortion, to where the baby, the lying bunch of devils, talk about the life of the mother, the life of the mother. When does any doctor know if a pregnancy is going to take the life of a mother? Those lying scoundrels, they don't know. No. We got it both ways now. You can kill them after they come out of the birth tract, stick a vacuum cleaner in their skull and suck their brains out, or you can go out and live like the devil and get you an after morning pill. It don't matter. Either way, we got it covered. We'll kill them. Oh, God help me. We'll kill them. We'll kill them as a result of living immoral. We'll kill them as a result of all of a sudden somebody doesn't want to feed a baby. It doesn't matter. Either way, we're just murdering millions of babies all over America. And what's the church doing? They're having cookouts and canoe rides. So, you ain't even with me. I wish this place was packed. I said they're having cookouts and canoe rides. We're defying the standards of truth. We're looking the preacher in the face and defying holiness, making his job impossible. The standards we used to have, we're throwing them away right in the preacher's face and sitting there daring him to say anything about it. You're messing with the wrong preacher because I dare to say something about it. And if you cut my throat, you'll have to. But I'm not going to compromise the gospel, nor am I going to let this modern generation tell me that the truth has changed. The truth has not changed. We've turned it into a lie, but the truth is still right. It's the word of God. It's from the heaven. It's Almighty God's word. And nobody will ever, ever change the fact that God's order is set forever. Would you just praise him one time? Would you just ask for him to settle into Landmark and help us? The radio was on when we left today, and the news came on at 6 o'clock. A mother took 5 of her children to the swimming pool in the housing development. The water was murky and dirty. You couldn't see the bottom of the pool. She knew they couldn't swim. She acted like she rescued the 2 little ones, but they had to go find the 3 oldest ones, starting at 13, knowing they couldn't swim. She put them in the pool over their head. And there's 3 precious little lives sucking and gasping for air. Can't swim, and mom's acting like she's pulling off some out of a rescue. Everywhere you look, demented minds that are filled full of every kind of drug you can imagine are killing all their babies, drowning them in bathtubs. You're not even hearing what I'm telling you. America's a wild country on the loose. There is no ballast. There's no rightness. There's no direction. We don't know whether to put them in jail or let them out of jail. We don't know whether to smoke marijuana or make it illegal. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do because we no longer hear the word of God preached in America by the men who are anointed by the Holy Ghost. It's not about a good politician. It's about a savior, a redeemer, a hope through the blood. That's why we're in the mess that we are in today. 2 lesbians can get a foster child, but good godly people can't get one. Social services, if you don't have a television, you can't get a child in many states. They want to guarantee that you're going to give that child its liberty to be any way it wants to be. When they ought to say, promise me, guarantee, sign right here that that child will be in church every Sunday. That's what they ought to be doing. I'm telling you something. I feel the preacher. That's what they ought to be doing. They ought to be saying, guarantee me you'll take that child to church. Put it in a Sunday school where they teach the 10 commandments. And they sing red and yellow, black and white. They all are precious in his sight. And then you won't have any racism from the time their little children teach them, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Oh, hallelujah. And if you teach it, then they'll know it. That's what they ought to be doing. But now you got to turn them loose to play demonic games and have all kinds of sorcery and evil pumped in their brain, because you know what? We don't know what we're doing. You can't whip them, but you got to make them behave. That's why God put that padding back there. And every one of you children in this building, if you got a mom or dad that'll whip you, make you behave, you ought to hug their neck and thank them. You listen to me. If you could walk down to the prisons and the juvenile detention halls, and you could have a talk with some of them boys and girls whose lives are upside down, and little girls that are 12 and 13 that have had babies and don't even know where the babies are because they had to give them up for adoption. Their brains are fried in drugs and they don't know where they're at, and they're addicted, and they've been through detox five times by the time they're 16. Wake up, somebody hear me preach. You children better tell your mom and daddy, whip me if I need it. Do whatever I need done to me. But guard me. Guard me. Take me to church. Let that crazy preacher preach to me. That man loves me. That man cares about me. That man will tell me right. Oh, somebody's got to help me. That preacher may act like he's nuts, and people may call him crazy, but Pastor Powers wouldn't do what he's doing if he didn't care about my soul. Why would I do this? Why would I expend this energy? Why would I say this and put myself in harm's way as far as the world's concerned? If I didn't love you, I'd love you from the oldest to the youngest. But I got to tell you the truth. We're not going to find an answer until we come back to the Word of God. Don't ever sass your mom or dad again. Don't ever raise your voice or be ugly. Love them. Then we let a Madeline Murray O'Hare rip the Bibles out of our schools. A monument, the Ten Commandments. We're wanting to get rid of every single thou shalt not on there. We're fighting to bring society to every one of those thou shalt not. And many of them, if they're broken, you go to jail. But it's wrong to put it up so somebody can read it. We said, let me in the halls of Congress for a while. I hear these guys debating, and I say, say this, man, say this. I can't get to them. Would you say that to them? When they want to call everybody that disagrees, he hates that hatred, hatred. The right-wing people, the haters, the violent, the scary. Because we believe the Ten Commandments and live by them, we're scary, man. Because we don't steal, we don't commit adultery. We don't murder. Oh, yeah, man, we're bad folks, aren't we? Huh? We love our neighbors. We love ourselves. Oh, man, that's a frightening one right there. Huh? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, that one right there will derail you. That'll keep you from kicking your dog, mistreating your cat. We want us to live by those rules. We got jail sentences for people that break them, but don't put them where anybody can read them. Because of separation of church and state. Israel. Oh, I'm not done. Believe was losing, being slaughtered. Samuel was there, and the word of the Lord of Samuel came to all Israel. Now, Brother Tony, you help me in the fourth chapter. Help me figure this out. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Was that a memory? Because if we go on and read, I don't read anything he said. What do you think? Yeah. Or was it something that they just recalled? I think it was foreknowledge. Every sermon that F.K. Powers preached in this pulpit is still valid. Every sermon that every evangelist, it's still valid. Every sermon that this stumble bum's preached is still valid. So now here they are in a mess, having to fight the most ferocious enemy that Israel ever knew. But now back here, is a priesthood that is in total disarray. Eli had forsaken the order of God and let his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, commit open adultery at the door of the house of God. He now had been told by God, I got a reversal on your promise. I promised you the blessings forever, but now, nobody from your house will escape begging for a slice of bread. So the priesthood is in disarray. He leaves his two rotten, no good sons to guard the Ark of the Covenant. And let me throw this in, and I'm going to try to finish this up. We've got some rotten, no good sons guarding the Ark of the Covenant. Yesterday, I found out a preacher well known was arrested for molesting 14-year-old girls in his church. A man many of you would know if I called his name. Not hearsay, not gossip. Arrested, taken to jail. And on the news was the picture of the church sign. You didn't even hear what I just said. A picture of the church sign. That's always the way the devil's going to do it. He'll go to prison. He got out on $25,000 bond. He's going to go to prison. And you know, he should go to prison. Because if a pastor can't guard the minors that are in the church, he would best be shot. If I can't protect the life of that little girl right there, instead of destroy her mind, I'm either a Hophni or Phineas. But it's showing up everywhere. And write this down, that I'm telling you, it's just began to boil to the surface. Because about 5 or 6 years ago, I stood right there and told you, it's going to show up everywhere. Did I not? And a lot of preachers that are in holiness pulpits are going to be caught as homosexuals. They're going to be in affairs. You write it down that I'm telling you tonight. And this molesting little children is going to show up in the churches all over America, in our ranks, in our holiness churches, because they have not stuck to that book. They've gone to their camp meetings and they preach to please each other rather than please the Almighty God. You can write that down. There's somebody there that don't believe in wearing neckties, they got to preach against that. There's somebody there that don't believe in women wearing their hair up, they got to preach against that. And they get there and it's a preach around to make everybody happy. That ain't what the gospel's about. The gospel's about you taking the plow, getting your hands on each handle, and plowing whatever God tells you to plow. Do it right, honor him, and give him glory when it's over. And I'm not here to make a preacher happy. I'm not here so somebody record this and send it off somewhere and some preacher give me a hand clap. There's preachers that would not like what I'm preaching, but that's all right. You can send it to them anyway. But if I was preaching a camp meeting, there were 400 preachers there, I would not cater to those preachers. I would cater to the souls of men, and I would make them equal with everybody else. Because did you know preachers need the gospel too? Hallelujah. Oh, the preachers need the gospel too. Preachers need the gospel too. Eli, why are you in the mess you're in? Because you disobeyed God. This is too big a load tonight for Wednesday, isn't it? Thank you. Now, I don't think that Samuel said a word. I think the word of the Lord came to them. I think the words of Samuel came to them. I think the warnings of Samuel came to them. I think they remembered that he had told them in time gone by, if you don't do it God's way, they're going to overtake you. Oh God, I felt it. They're going to overtake you. And you're going to lose. And they went out to fight. 4,000 men died. I'm closing. And they said, let's send down there and get that ark. Maybe it will save us. Landmark Tabernacle, the worst thing we could ever do, the worst position we can ever get in, is have to circle back and get something we should have never left behind. Because I will promise you, the devil will make sure that by then it's too late to spare the tragedy. We cannot get in the position to where we got to circle back. And then our faith has waned. Our faith has diminished until we aren't even sure of what we used to know and feel. Would somebody hear me preach? We're not even sure anymore of what we used to feel and know. Maybe it will save us. Since when has it ever turned into a maybe? It's I am the Lord thy God. I shall deliver you. Oh, somebody should have shouted. I shall deliver you. I will go before you and I will fight your battle for you. That's our God. Oh, 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 somebody say amen. That's our God. That's our God. I'm not talking about a box. I'm talking about the presence of the God that dwelt there and what it represented. It wasn't the wood that gave them power. It was the God. It was the God of Israel that was represented by that ark, not the box. So they went and got it. Come to find out, the Philistines
had more knowledge and spiritual insight on what that represented than the Israelites. Because when the ark came into the camp, the Israelites began to shout. That's easy to do. Make this false triumphant proclamation. What they should have been doing is falling on their face and repenting. Thank you. And saying, God, forgive us for forsaking not the box, but the laws that are in that box. Can I say that again? Forgive us not for forsaking the box, but forsaking the laws that are in that box. That was the mercy seat. That was the representation in type of the Christ that we serve. I cannot worship an image. I cannot worship a pendant hanging on a rear view mirror. I've got to know that Savior that shed His blood. I've got to have a relationship with Him. The Philistine said, what is that noise? Somebody said, they brought that Ark of the Covenant. Oh my God, they said, that's that God of the Israelites. What are we going to do? He parts Red Seas. That's what they said. He delivers a nation out of the grip of the Egyptians. Pharaoh couldn't even keep them. That's the God they said we're talking about. Quit yourselves, men. We better fight. We better fight like we've never fought. Oh, I'd like to hear that somewhere again. I'd like for something to emanate out of Landmark Tabernacle. I'm getting older. I'd like for it to happen pretty quick. And I'd like to scare the devil till he'd run out of this county saying, there's a fire upon that hill. There's a power and an anointing among those people that has never been seen before. I'd like for him to see the blaze go off the roof of this building. I'd like to see it bounce over that steeple and this entire region say, that's the real God. That's the real power. That's the real anointing. It's genuine. And nobody can defeat that power. Had they only known that they didn't know that God anymore. And with a box sitting in the camp, they thought it was all over. So they head back to the battlefield and they lose 30,000. Aren't you sick of losing? Aren't you sick of it? Are you sick of it, brother? Huh? One more. Get back. God's still alive. I wouldn't be here preaching if he wasn't trying to stir us. If he wasn't wanting to answer our cry, I wouldn't be here under this anointing. I came ready to preach. I was ready when I got here. That's bragging. Oh, no. I got nothing to do with this. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. But he wouldn't have put me here preaching like this. And I don't even have any notes tonight. This is just flat out right off of my heart. And this is it. That's it. Amen. Have I done any studying? Yes, I've studied it a lot. Amen. What do you say? We want more. We want more than a box. We want the God of that ark. That's what we want. That's what we are going to have. That's what we are going to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know one thing. The Philistines had enough sense to go kill Hophni and Phinehas. They knew them were two skunks that shouldn't have been guarding it after they killed 30,000 of the Israelites. 30,000. Can you imagine that heap of bodies? And they come crawling back into their camp, wounded and whipped and destroyed. And the worst thing that has ever happened to the nation of Israel, those nasty, rotten, slimy-handed Philistines went down and laid hold of that ark and hauled it back to their camp. I wish I could get on the pinnacle of this building and shout, that's not where it belongs. You compromisers and liberals, you don't deserve it. I say, God, come alive again. Hallelujah. Come alive again in that enemy's camp.
You know what happened? You know what happened? They put that ark in the house with Dagon. And I told you, it didn't work. It just won't work. It just won't work. You know what I'm saying right now? God, don't ever let it work. Don't ever let that mending and that meshing, don't let it work. Stay the God that you are. Always remain the God that you are. Don't ever change. I want you just like you are. I love you. I love the salvation plan. I love the power of the blood. I love the Holy Ghost. I love heaven. I love all of the promises and the power that is in my God. I want him to stay the same. My wife's coming to the piano. That ark was lost under Saul's reign. Am I right? Come to the piano. Saul, who was a man of pride, an obnoxious man who would not obey God. But there was somebody later who was after God's own heart. And he said, go get that ark. Bring it home to a king who knows the God of those laws. Bring it home. I'm sick of losing. What did he do? He danced. He saw it coming. He saw it coming and he got out in the road and danced. Hallelujah. There were some guys that got the notion that God's order was to haul it on the shoulders of the priests. They built a new cart to go get it. That was wrong. It began to shake, and one man reached up to touch it, keep it from falling. He dropped dead. Can I say this as I close? God's still there. God's still available. His laws are. Would you stand with me? What have I preached? We're losing. How are we going to get help? Why are we losing? It's the decay of the priesthood and the spiritual leadership, the quarrel and the backbiting, the division. The hatred from one preacher to another. It's at a boiling point. It's sickening. You write down what I'm telling you right now. Swifter than you. God is going to. It's coming. God can get. But who in this building tonight would say, I heard the message. I heard it. And that's all that has to be said. I want to respond to it. I want to respond to it. That's my heart, is to respond to what I heard. Hallelujah.